Father, we praise you tonight, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for everyone that's in this room tonight, Lord. And I thank you that it will fall on good soil and people's hearts will be changed. They'll be ministered to in the name of Jesus. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh, or as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Eat, drink, say he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. But I want that one part. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. How we think, and we've talked about it last week, and saw how important it was. And we're going to pick up, if you have your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 7, because that's where we left off. But, you know, there's a forming, there's a changing, there's a reshaping of what the way we think, the way we look at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves the way the Word of God looks at us. It's not dependent on people or whatever. It's what does God say about me? That's all that matters. It's seriously, that's all that matters. And we looked at behavior. You know, I said, and last week I said we see in words. So that's why, you know, the Evelyn Wood speed reading course. Remember that? That doesn't work with the Bible because you have to read it so it forms an image in your mind. And that image has to get into your heart because it changes the way you think. It changes the way you view things. You know, I always said this. I'll say it again. We went to Sicily in June. And when we were flying over Catania, we were coming into Sicily. We were like 35,000 feet up. And all the mountains looked flat. Till the planes start coming into Catania and start coming down, all of a sudden, Mount Etna looked pretty big. But when we were way above it and we looked down on that mountain, it looked flat. You see, when we start looking at things from God's perspective, they're flat. Your problem is nothing. But we look at from our perspective and it looks like a giant standing in front of us. You know, and that was the problem with the Israelites over in Numbers. They said we were as grasshoppers in their sight. Well, the giants never said they were grasshoppers. They looked at the grasshoppers and thought that they were grasshoppers in their sight. The giants never said they were grasshoppers. They thought they were grasshoppers, and because of that, that generation never went into the promised land. Only two of them, Aaron and Joshua, only ones that made it into the promised land because they didn't look at the giants. They didn't look at themselves, Joshua and Caleb, I'm sorry. They didn't look at themselves as grasshoppers. They said, God gave us this land. We're able to go in and take it. So let's do it. So we need to change the way we think and the way we see ourselves according to what God's word says. Amen? And so it's important that we do that. And the only way you do it is if you read the word of God. All right? Let me get my spot here. So let's go over to, here it is. Well, let's look at Romans chapter, I'm getting there. Don't worry about it. Okay? Romans chapter 7, verse 23. He talks about this law. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. You know, when you look at that, the law that he's talking about is the law of sin and death. Okay? And it wars against our mind. And he told us, we looked last week, that we have to renew our minds. But, you know, we talked about restoration. So here he says, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. So when we start thinking on our past, when we start thinking on things we shouldn't be thinking about, it brings us into captivity. We're trapped. It's like a belt, a straitjacket around us. And when we were here last week, we looked at the fact, we said, why do the heathens rage? You know, and people imagine a vain thing. And it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, and I read this last week, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. And that is so important. We need to glorify God every day, every day, and be thankful every day. Well, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Put your hand on your chest. Is your heart beating? Be thankful. You know, and it says they became futile in their thoughts. and their foolish hearts were darkened. Well, the Amplified reads it this way. It says, because they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks, but instead became futile and godless in their thinking with vain imaginations, foolish reasoning, and stupid speculations. And their senseless minds were darkened. And that's the problem we see in the world today. People have cut God out of everything. And see, when we're not careful, we start thinking the way they think. And as a man thinketh, so he is. So we have a lot of people in Christianity with facing a lot of problems simply because they're in the middle of this mess called the world. And it starts affecting our thinking. Because, dear God, they must be right. They're the government. They're the doctors. They're the psychologists. They're the universities. They must be right, and we must be wrong. I'm sorry. The Word of God is right, and they're all wrong. Okay? So we have to, you know, and again, he's writing around wrong behavior, and wrong behavior comes from empty imaginations, all right? Well, that's not, and then we also talked about meditating, you know, the word meditate. Psalm chapter 1, verse 12 says, chapter 1, verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Well, the law is the Word of God. All right? And the word meditate is really the same Hebrew word as imagination. So when we start meditating in the Word of God, or we start reading the Word of God, we start muttering the Word of God to ourselves, we start imagining things. And whatever you imagine is what you're going to end up doing. I said it last week, what you hear is what you see, and what you see is what you do. It's just the way it is. How many remember like the old movies with Clint Eastwood, you know, when he would, you know, I forget the name of them, Dirty Harry movies. You know, every time I walked out of a Dirty Harry movie, I'd get behind, I had a Chevelle Supersport 396. I'd get behind the wheel of that thing and I'd come out of the movie theater and thought I was Dirty Harry. Why? Because what I seen, what I heard, I saw it and thought I could do it until the cop's lights went on, pulled me over. And I found out I wasn't Dirty Harry. I had a date with the police, you know. But we have to meditate in the Word of God. And there were some of the things we talked about last week. And so what I want to talk about tonight is the biggest challenge in life isn't knowing all the ins and outs about life. You know, people spend their entire... We were someplace today. It was so funny. I just wanted to get up and say, you know what? You guys are dopes. Because they were talking about... I turned around and says, they just don't know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, because they were talking about truth. These guys behind us, where we were today. And they just thought they had, I mean, they were just like, you know, and I, actually we were in the courtroom, and they were there for whatever. But, and I said, you know what, if they were so smart, what are they doing here? Right, so I told them, if they're so intelligent, talking about all this philosophy and all this, what is truth and everything else, why are they sitting in court waiting to see the judge? We weren't waiting to see the judge, by the way, okay? We were just there for moral support for somebody. But still, I look at it and I go, you know, the smartest people in the world are those in jail. If they're so smart, why are they there? I just never could figure that one out. But anyway, so the biggest challenge in life isn't knowing all the ins and outs about life. It isn't being the most dynamic person that walks in the room. You know, anybody could be that. The person with the biggest mouth is the most dynamic person in the room. That might be me tonight, huh? I don't know. But anyway. You see, what people don't understand, God doesn't say his word works only for those with a college degree and a charismatic personality. You know, the word doesn't just work for Kenneth Copeland. It doesn't just work for Kenneth Hagin. It doesn't just work for Jerry Seville, Jesse Duplantis. The word of God will work for anybody. You know, I don't mean this to be disparaging, but Kenneth Copeland was nobody. Really, and if you get his magazine, it's 50 years of Kenneth Copeland, 50 years in the ministry. He is nothing. He was a nothing that weighed 350 pounds, nothing. And he used to sit and he used to drive, fly a plane for Kenneth, for Oral Roberts. And then he used to go to Kenneth Hagin meetings when Kenneth Hagin was on Peoria in Tulsa, Oklahoma, sit on the front row. You could see pictures of him way back then. They got pictures. He took up two seats. But you know what? He started to change his image. See, I don't get upset when people look at these ministries that have all this stuff. You know why? Because if you study their lives, they came from zero. But they got a hold of something. And it changed the way they think and look at themselves. They look at them the way God looks at them. So the focus needs to be on God's word. That is the most important thing in your entire life. Not on man, not on what the news says, not on what the doctors say, not on what the psychologists and the philosophers are telling you. The law of the mind works for everyone. You know, and the biggest challenge that we have is building an image about ourselves based on God's word. That is a big challenge because we face all these things every day. You know, we get intimidated. Our challenges intimidate us, whatever they be, whether you owe money, whether it's a sickness, whatever it means, that can intimidate you, and we draw back instead of pushing forward and saying, hey, the greater one lives in me. Thank you for that hearty amen.
Amen.
You know, if the word of God occupies your thoughts day and night, and you're feeding on it, when an opportunity presents itself for you, you won't question whether it's God or not. You're going for it. And guess what? Maybe it might have not been God, but God will honor it, your faith, for doing something. Thank you. And it'll occupy your thoughts day and night. And it'll change your behavior. You'll envision yourself being something for God. Your healing will come in your body. Prosperity will come into your life. Things will change. And I'm not suggesting that we ignore things, okay? Because this teaching sometimes can get a little bit lopsided with people. But that you ignore learning the right ways to do things, you know? There are some skill sets that we need in life just to get through, okay? We need to develop them in a given area that you're in. There's just skill sets. But let me tell you, simply learning those skill sets will not put you over, you know? They're not going to make you something you're not. You know, I know a lot of people with a lot of skill sets. They have a lousy, they're geniuses, but they have a lousy image of themselves. Because they never seen themselves the way God sees them. Yet they have all these great skill sets to do things. Yet they never move on from where they're at. You know? But again, these learning skills are not going to be, you know, we put so much, and I believe in education, don't misunderstand, but we put so much emphasis on education. And there's nothing wrong with education, but when education pushes the knowledge of God out of the way, you got a major problem in your life. Amen. You know, and people, you know, they hear a guy like me preach that and they get like, oh, he's just one of them Bible thumpers. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, education's important, but it's not as important as knowing the Word of God. You know, we said something, and we've talked about it with my son, Eddie, and stuff. He has three daughters, and I love them with every fiber of my being. I says, they need to learn the word of God. Amen. Because mom and dad ain't going to be there when they're away in college. And they need to know, how am I going to respond to any given situation? And if I don't have the word, if they don't have the word of God in them, or any child, any son or daughter that we have, they are going to go in the wrong direction. And you could like it or lump it, it's just the way it is. It's bad enough and tough enough when they have the word of God in them. And the world just pulls on them. But to have that, developing this image of God that, you know, I could do, you know, like I said before, Megyn Kelly, like you got to read her book because she developed who she wasn't always that way. Now, would you ever think she was a shy person? Sometimes you want to smack her, you know, because she's so out in your face, but she wasn't always that way. Amazing. I wasn't always this way. I was shy, timid. Never opened up my mouth. My mother used to say, look at him. He sits in the corner by himself. Yeah. I was serious. You can laugh all you want. You know, my mother used to say that all. She used to sit in this front row and says, I can't believe he's up there. That really builds your ego. When your own mother can't believe you're doing something. But you have to see the way God sees you. You have to look at yourself the way God looks at you. Amen. And it goes for all areas of our Christian walk in life. Because we all face challenges, whether it's home, on the job, at school. We face challenges, health challenges, emotional challenges, financial challenges. We face them and face them and face them. But you know what the beauty of the whole thing is? Psalm 37, verse 32 says, or 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Isn't that great? My steps are ordered of the Lord. We had a situation this morning, and I just, you know, my wife's a little more emotional than me. She goes, you don't ever get emotional. I said, well, I'm not emotional. It's like, this is just the way I am. It don't mean that I'm not excited. I just, you know, we were away one time and something really good happened. And I said, gee, hon, look. And she went, ah! She goes, well, why are you excited? I says, isn't that supposed to happen? You know, so I have a little bit of different attitude, but she's the excited one, not me. But our steps are ordered by the Lord. And I get up every day, I say, Lord, you know what? Wherever I go today, you ordered. Amen. You know, as long as I do my part. You know, I just don't get up and go, well, okay, sarah, sarah, you know, God, wherever. No, man, we read the word of God, we study, we pray. You know, she reads devotionals. I read mine on my computer, but, you know, it's the first thing I do when I get out of bed. Fall, the first thing I do when I get out of bed is check the temperature. Then I go downstairs and I go on my computer and I'll start reading Faith to Faith, whatever. We have those little devotionals that we have. I have a bunch of stuff on my computer. But I do that because God's got something happening for me today. I don't know what it is, but I need to be ready so I could step into that opportunity, you know. And if I wasn't in court today, I would have stepped into that opportunity, believe me. But, you know. You got to use a little wisdom, too. I was thinking, I should just get up and like Paul and say, let me tell you about this unknown God you're talking about, buddy. But we didn't do that. But if you've allowed your mind to be conformed to the things that he's spoken in his word, then the Holy Spirit will have your behavior be automatically right. You don't have to think about it. People think, oh, God, I hope I'm not. Is that wrong? Is that right? Wop, pop. You know, man, if you get the word of God in you, you're automatically going to do right. You know, somebody asked me a question once. They said, is the fruit of the Spirit automatic? And my answer is yes and no in Galatians chapter 5. They're in us All nine of the fruit of the Spirit are in us. They're there. We just need to do our part, and they'll come out. They're automatic. I mean, it's like if you have an orange tree in your backyard, it's going to produce oranges automatically. But if you take care of it, it's going to produce nice oranges, big oranges, juicy oranges. But automatically, it's going to produce oranges. It's not going to produce, lemons, because it's an orange tree. So you have this fruit in you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all this fruit, it's in you. We need to work the Word of God so it displays itself in our life. Amen? So just let your mind function the way God intended it to be. Let the law of the mind work for you. Build an inner image of what God has said you are in His Word. See it rather than the moments. You know, I hear this term a lot. You just have to be in the moment. No, in the moment could destroy you. Don't see yourself in the moment. See your, because a lot of the moments we find ourselves in are jam-packed with problems. Don't focus on all the injuries and hurts of the past. We all have them, and I'm not minimizing injuries or hurts that people have. Don't misunderstand. We all have them, all right? Because if you do, you're squandering some supernatural energy or drive to achieve and receive the things God has for you, whether it's healing, finances, whatever. But if you're constantly focused on the hurts in your life, you're wasting something valuable. And something precious. It's the supernatural energy, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's in you because you're born again. I hear people say this all the time. Well, I believed I'm healed. But how do I act when I'm still sneezing and coughing? Or I believe God's met my needs, but it hasn't manifested yet. How do I act rich if I'm not rich yet? I'll tell you what your problem is. You don't believe it. Oh. Psst. You hear? It's a simple matter. It's not hard. Believing is the first thing you need to do. If you believe something, you're going to act like it's true, whether it's not. But it's not just enough to only imagine it. Faith is your power source in the situation. And God doesn't want you to lie about your circumstances. What He does instruct us to do is declare the truth of the Word of God about your circumstance. Big difference. Bible says, call things that are not as though they are. Don't call things that are as though they're not. Amen. There's a difference. You're calling things that are not as though they're yours. Not things that you have as though they're not. Because you might have a financial situation. That don't mean nothing. Put your hand on your checkbook and thank God that He's going to bless you. Work, go to work, do what you have to do. Don't go around saying, oh, I don't got no money, but I'm believing God. See, but if you begin to order this behavior in a way that's consistent with the Word, eventually you're going to see the desired result. Eventually, it's not going to happen overnight. Unfortunately, most people do not allow their imaginations to be shaped that way. Most people allow their imaginations to be shaped by the challenge of the moment or by what they experienced in the past. I'm just thinking there's so many things going through my mind, like, you know, about different scenarios that's happened in my life. And you know what? I don't have to have $1,000 in my pocket, but there's nothing to say I can't act like I do. Amen. Nobody knows the difference. Now, I'm believing God there's going to be $1,000 in my pocket. You know, I told a story one time. I said there was a guy, and they asked him, he was a multi-millionaire. They said, if you were to lose everything tomorrow, what would you do? He said, I'd go get a job. I'd get two jobs. And I'd work and work and work and work and work. And on Friday night, I'd find the most expensive restaurant in town and go there and buy dinner. They said, what? He said, because I'm going to meet somebody in that restaurant. God's going to hook me up. Think about it. Okay, amen. Amen on me, I don't care. But I'll tell you, most people allow their imaginations to be shaped by the challenge of the moment and by what they experienced in the past. And I will tell you this, and the more you ponder the facts, the more certain it is that nothing's going to change in your life. You keep thinking about it, it won't change. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says this, brethren, that means sister too, okay? I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Paul says, I haven't reached it. I'm not there yet, but there's one little thing that I do. Forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. See, because if you're always reaching forward, you don't have time to look backward. And Paul basically was saying, hey, man, you have to forget what's in the past. Does anybody in this room, let me ask you this question. Maybe I've missed it, I don't know. But is there anybody in this room that can go back and change what happened to you yesterday? Because if you there are, we got some really cool marketing people. We're going to make a gazillion dollars. You can't, but you can learn from it, but you can't change it ever, ever. And that means to put it out of your mind. Forget means, you know, it's a real deep word. Forget means to put it out of your mind. Because if you don't, you'll continually imagine your future on the basis of your past experiences in your life. And we just can't allow ourselves to do that. You know, even in the area of recovery, you know, I believe in the 12 steps, but I believe there's a point where they have to get in their life where they're not constantly looking back at what they did. They need to look forward to what God has for them. What's the word say you are? You're not always a drug addict. You're not always an alcoholic. You've been redeemed. You've been set free. Act like it. Oh, sweet Jesus. Act like it. I hear some of these people, even when they come in here, you know, they go, oh, I'm Bob. I'm an alcoholic. I go, ugh. I want to run up and head butt them. But they don't know any difference. I got to, like, let go with the flow. They're not there yet. But still, and you can't allow your mind to just settle on past events. Listen, everybody's been hurt. I don't care. There's 30 people in this room. Everybody's been hurt. Everybody has a past. I don't care who you are. If you're in the ministry, I'll tell you this right now, you've taken some serious shots. If you're just a person, you're a target for the enemy. It's just a simple fact of life. It's going to happen. Well, what are you going to do with that one? Well, and I really don't want to trivialize situations or minimize the pain you might have felt, that's not my intention here at all. Okay? Thank God we have the Holy Spirit. Thank God we can crawl up on our Father's knees and put his arms around him and cry when we have to. Now, I'm not trying to minimize anyone's hurt at all. Been there, done that, you know, and as the older I get, I find myself more emotional. I don't know what it is. I'm trying to take man-up pills, you know. Slap myself in the face. I'd be sitting home watching television. My wife would be out trying, watching this stupid Hallmark channel, and I'm crying. I'm going, are you nuts? They're making money, and you're crying. But it's so all of us have been there. I just want you to say you're not the only one. I try to be as, what's that word they use? Transparent, right. But I don't want to. But he does say forget it. All right? Stop feeling sorry. And really, what he means when he says forget it is stop feeling sorry for yourself and how bad it was or how bad it is, and get your mind off it and forget it and get your mind on the things of God. Because that's what will change you. That's what will change you. What has he put in your heart when you got saved? Go back to what God's called you to do when you first got saved. Remember how excited you were? Boy, you were real like... They had to put you in a rubber room. I mean, that's the way it was when we got saved. They had to tie us down, man. They thought we were nuts. But do we lose that? Because, you know, we get mature now. You know, we're smart people. Here I come now. I know the word of God. I know John 3:16, bless God. You know, I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Get out of my way. And we kind of like let our guard down. And we just cruising through life. All of a sudden, devil comes from this way and knocks you that way. And you go, what happened? You got your eyes off the word of God. Any time that happens to somebody, I can guarantee it that they've gotten their eyes off this. Because if you keep your eyes on that, that is your roadmap. The devil will, there's another, I don't know, maybe I'll teach on it next Wednesday night, if I could do it, about how the devil really gets to us. You know, he knows exactly, I've taught on it before, but it bears repeating. He knows how to work his way right into your little thinking. Can you say amen? God, you can come up here. But I'm telling you, begin meditating in God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do you believe that? Yeah. You meditate on that? Yeah. You need to meditate on it. You have the mind. Just think about it. Because once you start thinking about it, you go, holy cow, I've got the mind of Christ. Why am I thinking such stupid things? I need to start thinking like Jesus thought. Amen. He said, hey, let's feed the 5,000. Hello? Hey, let's go lay hands on the sick. Go grab a fish out of the water, pull a coin out of its mouth. You know, it's about to buy some loaves and fishes. That you have them, either that or Paul lied. And just to top it off, I'll just close with these two. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Whoa. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Man, there's so many things I could talk about here, but. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just praise you and thank you. Lord, I thank you that we all have the mind of Christ. Every one of us in this room. We have the ability to think the way Jesus thinks. And Father God, I pray that this sinks into people's hearts. It gets from their mind to their heart, becomes revelation to them. that they really believe it, that they believe. They believe. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.